Operatic arias don't usually go hand in hand with rock and roll arrangements, but a group known as the East Village Opera Company mixes Mozart, Verdi, and Puccini with power chords, drum kits, and arena rock. The Hearing Voices radio project brings us the story of the company, which is made up of a five-piece band along with a string quartet and two vocalists.
My name's Tylee Ross, and I am one of the singers and founding members of the band, the East Village Opera Company.
I'm Peter Kiesewalter. I do most of the arranging. I'm the guy that that bastardizes this music.
He's the mad genius behind the East Village Opera Company.
The pomposity of opera lends itself well to the majesty of rock. You know, all those rock cliches, like doing Eddie Van Halen hammer-ons, or as drummer to play right around the drum kit as fast as possible, that is heartily encouraged in this group.
I would never tell anybody I'm an opera singer. That would be an insult to opera singers. I don't have the chops of an opera singer. I don't have the training of an opera singer. And
girth.
Well, I'm working on that. We're just playing great songs. We know that they're opera songs, and we certainly have an appeal amongst people who love opera music, but we're just playing great songs. La Donna Immobile, Verdi knew that it was going to become very popular instantly, and in his time, gondoliers and street singers would sometimes learn the songs the day that an opera opened or listening in on rehearsals. These songs would be out on the street before...
Before iTunes even got over.
Exactly, before it was being illegally downloaded. Opera wasn't something that was for the very rich and very highly educated. It was for everybody.
A composer like Mozart wasn't using Baroque instruments. He wasn't using lutes. He was using modern instruments. So I think if he were alive today, he'd be using electric guitars, computers, and drums. Perhaps the orchestra as well, I'm not sure. But they were writing music that they were hoping would be sung in the streets the next day. The overture to The Marriage of Figaro, one of the greatest opera overtures ever written. One of the first operas to portray common folk as heroes on stage, which for its time, you gotta remember this is in the years leading up to the French Revolution, was pretty subversive stuff, particularly the plot about a slave outwitting his master and, you know, sticking it to the man, which is kind of what the reference we make to Won't Get Fooled Again, the Who's song, is all about as well.
I don't think there's anything really sophisticated about the stories that are being told in opera. They're the stories that are being told from generation to generation. These stories, a lot of them, exist really well in a foreign language where people don't have to know how bad the lyrics really are.
You know, I think you can have a bad libretto and great music and it's still great opera. Case in point, the whole premise of the Pearl Fishers, from which we do the Au fond du temps passé, that duet, is a little bit goofy and kind of silly story. These two friends reunite and both recount having been infatuated with a particular woman who they vow not to mess up their friendship. That's the basic premise of that duet.
Anne-Marie Melazzo, she joined us about a year and a half ago, came in as a guest singer, and was such a hit that...
Left as a superstar.
Yeah, she's wildly talented. She's a writer of musicals, and she's got a couple musicals that are moving towards production on Broadway.
We like to mess with gender a little bit. I mean, there's another duet on the record, the flower duet from
Lakmé,
normally sung by a mezzo-soprano and a soprano. And in our version, it's a guy and a girl. So we don't feel we have to remain faithful to the key, to arrangement, not even gender necessarily. One of the things that attracts us to this music in the first place is the melodic genius of these composers, and I think a great song can be played with just simple guitar accompaniment or an accordion or by a monkey grinder for that matter. These melodies are so beautiful that they can withstand drastic rearrangement. The most important thing in especially this later Italian and French opera is the melody and the emotional core. I think all the classic arts need to be put on their head a little bit, turned upside down, for them to survive.
Our feature on the East Village Opera Company and their self-titled CD comes to us from producer Barrett Golding of the Hearing Voices Radio Project. And to hear more music from the East Village Opera Company, it's npr.org.